This is Joe Basso from Music Radar, the place for music makers, and I'm speaking with guitarist Nuno Betancourt from Extreme. Nuno, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. You guys have put out a new record, have reformed after several years, 13, I think.
That is correct. That is right on.
With this reformation, the question begs, you know, are you guys back for a while, or if for whatever reason, let's say this record doesn't impact, will you go back off to other projects, or are you guys back in Extreme?
Well, I mean, we've never based our existence on impact, you know, in the sense of who knows what the hell that means anyway, that the record doesn't have impact. I mean, I think last time I spoke to somebody in the industry, I think it was by the middle of the year, there was one or two platinum records this year, which was the first time in might have been ever in history of music, you know, because due to all the way everything's changed and in the internet and downloading and all that, and so it's a very different world. So I mean, as far as you know, Extreme coming back in 13 years, you know, I think it's one of those things where it might have taken a longer period than it probably should have, because you know we were together for about 11 years and or 12 years, and I think. You know, when you that was home for us. You know, when you consider that being home, I think anybody can to wanting to leave home for a while. You know, as comfortable as it can be, and your family and everything else. Sometimes you need to just travel the world and try some different things, try some different foods, go to some different countries. And I think, in essence, that's what everybody was doing. You know, I know that's what I was doing. You know, with the various projects with Drama Gods and Population, one of the things I did, you know, it wasn't that extreme. We hated each other. I think it was just time for a bit of a break. We could have taken a year or two, but I think maybe the way it went down wasn't very natural, and maybe the surroundings, our people that we counted around us didn't really help us out so much. But anyways, that's the past. So we always said, you know, I always kept in touch with Gary and the guys, and it was never, you know, bad blood there. Just bad brotherly blood, if that makes any sense to anybody who has brothers, you know.
Sure.
And we always said, look, if we ever do anything, it can't be some really bad reunion tour or some nostalgic reunion tour or for the money or, you know, any of those reasons. It has to be what it was always about, and that was the music. And if, you know, we didn't have anything new to share with our older fans or new fans or just the current, you know, current music lovers, then it's just not worth doing it. You know, we had to have something to say and something that we were proud of sharing with. So, you know, God, last November we got into a room and, you know, we basically just started jamming and to see what, you know, we didn't know if it was going to be terrible, if it was just going to be good and the chemistry was going to still be there. And God, it was scary. We were writing like 3 or 4 songs a day. We came out with 24, 25 tracks within like 10 days. And I think we looked at each other and went, holy shit, I think it's time. I think it's time we do something.
Now, getting back together, you know, and after so long and doing so many other different things with other people, was it important to feel that you guys were as you were then? Or did you just kind of say, screw it, you know, we're going to be, you know, a new band in a way?
Well, I mean, we, you know, we were kind of worried about being as then because that's, I think that's the fear. I mean, we did, I think in 2002 or something like that, we did a couple of shows together kind of for the fun of it. It was like a 4th of July weekend, something we were all back home and we get together and said, hey, you know, just for kind of old times, like, was, you know, we're not going to go on the road. We're not going to do anything. Let's just have some fun. And I remember doing, you know, thinking, okay, we did 3 or 4 shows or something like that. And it couldn't have been any more perfect in many ways. You know, shows are sold out. Crowd was there. They sang every song with us. We celebrated. We, you know, it just, you know, there we were back on the bicycle and didn't really skip a beat. But I'll never forget going back to a hotel room and sitting in there and completely, you know, having this depression come over me. And it was really bizarre because you're thinking, well, why are you feeling this way? Why are you feeling like this is, you know, and it occurred to me that we could never do this like this. We could never try to just skip 13 years and go back and be, we're almost like we were covering ourselves, you know, we're a cover, an extreme tribute band. And the reason that you can't just do that is because, you know, those songs and those lyrics, everything about that, they have history, you know, they have a, it's like a perfume that you smell that takes you back in time, you know?
Yeah.
And, when you get kind of scared that you didn't progress, that you didn't move on, that you didn't grow, that you didn't get better. And I think that's why when we did these new crop of songs, look, it's still extreme. It sounded like we didn't skip a beat in many ways, but to me it sounded like we grew. And I thought we got better, and I thought we were smarter. And I could be wrong, but the best news is that it's real and it's honest and it's where we're at today. Yeah.
You know, it's been a while since you had your huge mega hit, More Than Words. What's been the best thing about having a hit of that magnitude? And also, what's been the worst thing about it?
More Than Words, blessing or a curse? It's almost odd. It's like, okay, well, let's think about this for a second. Okay, More Than Words, you know, people look at it as an odd song for us, but the truth is that it's a song that we wrote. I mean, we wrote it just like any other song on that record.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not some... If we released it as a single, it would have never been a hit, but it still would have been More Than Words, the exact same song on that record. Just like the collection of the other 12 that were on that record, it was just done in complete innocence. You know, we sat on a porch, we wrote More Than Words. We sat on the piano, we wrote When I First Kissed You on Porn Graffiti. We wrote Get the Funk Out probably the day before that. I mean, there wasn't any sort of rhyme or reason to any of that stuff. But just because, you know, it was released, and actually it was released because our fans wanted it released. The label did not want to release it. Many of the guys in the band didn't want to release it. Management didn't want to release it. They didn't think it was a hit because, you know, at the time, there was no acoustic music out, period. This is way before MTV Unplugged. And at the time, all the ballads that were out were these big power ballads and, you know, huge productions. And when those guys heard, you know, More Than Words, they're like, well, where are we going to put this? How do we put this in between on radio and rock radio or anywhere else? Even on hit radio, it was kind of like there was Whitney Houston was on there. You know, it was this R&B almost hip hop thing happening. So it was one of those things where the fans decided that it was a hit, and the fact that it was a hit worldwide, it just, you know, you got to go back and say, let me see, we're a new band. Would we rather it be a hit or not? Let me see it. Because it was a hit and it was massive, we get to tour on that record another 1.5 years and play to maybe, I don't know, another, you know, 500,000, if not 1 million people worldwide. We get to share with them the rest of our catalog live. They also bought, I think we sold close to over 10 million, 12 million records worldwide. So not only did they listen to More Than Words, but they get turned on to the rest of the catalog. Or would I want that, or would I want to be working at Burger King? Let me think about that. Let's weigh the pros and cons. I understand it from a music perspective, you know, because people are like, well, you guys were a rock band. But the truth is, you know, the fans, the hardcore fans knew exactly what we were.
Right.
The mainstream audience, most of them knew what we were totally as a package. But the ones that didn't, that only knew us for More Than Words, they were only supposed to know us for More Than Words. They were those sort of, you know, mainstream fans that only buy singles for everybody.
Right.
That's okay. You know, the people that were supposed to, the show to see Extreme were supposed to be there, and the ones that only bought the singles were only supposed to buy the singles. So there was no negative at all to it, I don't believe, anyway.
How did you feel when you saw certain bands, and a lot of them were, you know, pop metal bands, say, trying to ape the formula? Because there were several of them that did.
Yeah, you know what? That's a compliment. That's a compliment, really, because it's, especially when you see a band not only doing an acoustic track with a black acoustic in a video that's done in black and white, we won't mention any names, but when you see that, it's funny almost, but it's kind of cool. You know, look, just for the record, that, you know, there's certain bands or particular people that came up and apologized to me when I ran into them on the road saying, hey, I hope you don't mind, man. That was just an amazing song, and you guys really broke the mold and did some new things and some fresh. So, you know, we kind of jumped on the coattails. I mean, they actually admitted it to me. But you know what? That's what music is anyways. Look, don't think that every note, every song, More Than Words, everything we've ever done indirectly comes from everything we've ever consumed. as musicians and as music lovers. I mean, you know, when you read that the Beatles were trying to do what the Beach Boys were doing, and the Beach Boys were trying to do what the Beatles were doing, and and Zeppelin doing the blues and all that stuff, you know, that's the beauty of music. You know, as long as you're not sitting there, you know, on Vanilla Ice, really kind of, you know, purposely saying, look, this is mine and it isn't mine.
Right.
I love tipping my hat to all my faves, whether it's Jimmy Page or Eddie Van Halen or anything. I have no misconceptions that I reinvented the wheel, and I don't think anybody does. Even those heroes of mine didn't. They know where they came from. They know what it's about. And I think that's, if you can do it respectfully and know your influences and wear them proudly on your sleeve, but hopefully you have culminated and kind of taking those ingredients and make it your own. I mean, it's all good. There's room for everybody, you know.
Speaking of influences, on the new record, which is called Saudade de Rock.
There you go.
There you go. I got the title right.
Yeah, you did.
First song right off the bat, the riff, the flanged vocals. You know, you guys are waving the Queen flag pretty proudly there. Has there been any new band that has hit you guys quite as hard?
You know, it's interesting because I think the saddest part about the newer generation, and it so much isn't their fault, is that taking, you know, somewhere between, you know, anywhere between when rock and roll was born in the 40s or 50s to almost up till about like 97 or even 2000, there was a lot of room for risk. And not that you had to jump off a cliff musically, but you would just do what you wanted to do, and that's it, period. And if people connected, they connected, and you were something special, and there was something special about you when they finally discovered you. You know, for bands of the past that have any sort of history, or even like Extreme going out right now, it's almost, we have more of a benefit because we have a history. The newer acts, man, it's so tough for them because, you know, it seems like if they don't sound like one of those newer Canadian, I don't know, emo. I don't know. It's just like you turn on the radio sometimes and everybody's kind of talking about their girlfriend and whining about their girlfriend, and it's this post kind of Blink 182 rock that you have trouble deciphering who's who, you know, that straight four thing. And I'm sure there's some good bands that do that. I don't want to go down on bands that just because they're doing sort of pop punk rock or whatever, but I feel that, you know, those bands that might be out there that are a little bit left of centered, I just can have such a hard time. Like, labels are going to hear them and go, like, even if Zeppelin came out and say if Zeppelin never existed and then they turned in Kashmir today to a label, they would have looked at them and go, like, what is this?
Right.
We can't play this on the radio. You know, where are we going to put this? I mean, there's no chorus. There's no hook. You know, it goes for ages. I mean, we have to edit it. And it's scary to think that maybe over the last 10 or 15 years that some of those new Led Zeppelins and Queens and Van Halens and Aerosmiths, I don't know. Do we get a chance to discover them? It's pretty crazy to know that or not, you know. And as far as new bands that I think, at the very least, have been, you know, seem to kind of wave that middle finger to as you're supposed to in as being a rock and roll creative rock and roll band like Queen did or Pink Floyd or any of those bands, you kind of just, I would say Muse, you know, is closest thing to that. I mean, I think they're marching to their own, you know, beat of their own drum, and I think they're doing some things, and they have those influences, you know, those influences of the, you know, F you, we're going to do what we love to do, and if we want to pop track into an epic track into, you know, just beautiful piano and haunting vocals, you know, and I love that, and that just shows that people also take time to actually take their instrument and craft it. You know, that's another thing that doesn't happen much anymore. I don't know if there's a lot of new bands that I really dig that way. You know, I think there's some great bands out there. I've always been, you know, the bands that exist now, you know, that are still around, like the Foo Fighters and Chili Peppers. I mean, even I think they've fallen victim somewhat to the current status, you know, by, you know, recreating a lot of the, staying very one-dimensional a lot of the times. I used to think that the Chili Peppers, when they did Blood Sugar Sex Magic, I thought that was one of the greatest records of all time, and that's the record that sort of, you know, put them into the stratosphere, and I felt that they took, like, you know, the success they had with, you know, a single or two of that they've been consistently trying to do that, and I don't know if that's pressure from the label or whatever, or if that's just them. If that's just them, then great for them, you know. But I would love bands to take a bit more risk. I mean, the White Stripes, you know, that they're doing their own thing, you know, bands like that. So, I mean, you do see pockets of it.